Welcome to Clinical Conversations. I'm Joe Elia. This week's interview is about electronic health records. But before that, the week's top stories from Physicians First Watch, read by its editor, Amy Herman.
Hi, everyone. Our top story this week is the spread of the novel coronavirus, which is believed to have originated in Wuhan City, China. As of Friday, the New York Times reported 830 cases in China, with 26 fatalities. There have been two cases in the U.S. thus far. The World Health Organization said it was too early to declare a public health emergency of international concern. Next, the CDC now says that both the tetanus toxoid, reduced diphtheria toxoid, and acellular pertussis, or Tdap vaccine, and the tetanus and diphtheria toxoids, or TD vaccine, are acceptable in situations where only the TD vaccine had previously been recommended. However, the agency stopped short of recommending Tdap over TD. Elsewhere, an FDA study finds that chemical sunscreen ingredients are absorbed into the bloodstream after one application, and some ingredients can stay in the blood for at least 3 weeks. Whether this has adverse health consequences is unknown. And finally, the American Academy of Pediatrics and the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry together released guidelines for clinicians caring for children and adolescents who have experienced maltreatment. Among the recommendations, maltreated youth should be asked about self-harm and suicidal ideation, even if they don't seem suicidal. And that's it for this week. Stick around for Joe Elia's latest clinical conversation.
Electronic health records. How much screen time do physicians spend during a typical outpatient visit? The authors of a recent Annals of Internal Medicine study set out to measure that. To do this, they examined the log files from the Cerner Millennium EHR for the year 2018. Those files detailed every keystroke during some 100 million visits with over 150,000 physicians. The number they came up with was 16 minutes per encounter. There are more numbers, but let's not dwell so much on those, because accompanying the article was an editorial that put a useful frame around the findings. It was by our guest this time, Dr. Julia Adler-Milstein. Dr. Adler-Milstein is an associate professor of medicine at the University of California, San Francisco School of Medicine, where she directs the Center for Clinical Informatics and Improvement Research. Welcome to Clinical Conversations, Dr. Adler-Milstein.
Thank you for having me.
16 minutes is a lot of time spent per encounter, wouldn't you say? I mean, the authors say about 10% of that time was spent after hours.
Yeah, it is a lot of time, especially in the context of, you know, what are often characterized as 15-minute, you know, visits with your doctor. So that's, you know, more than double that. So it's a substantial amount of time, and I think that's really why this study is so important, is it's causing us to reflect on, is that a good use of time? If a doctor could see twice as many patients in their day, that's a huge increase.
When you ask the question, and you ask it in your editorial, whether that's a good use of time, you set about discussing that by saying, well, there are two schools of thought on this. Neither one is actually the only school to pursue, but one says, no, it's a waste of time. And the other one says, no, well, you know, this is useful for other things like measuring how well we're doing in healthcare. But the estimate from the authors was about 3 1/3 hours per day with the electronic health records. And that's fully an hour more than is estimated to be spent with paper records, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. And honestly, it's been a hard one to pin down because there's so much variability. So in the paper world and in the electronic world, we see some physicians who are, you know, quite expedient and efficient with their documentation, and others that take a lot longer. And so, yes, on average, it would suggest that it's more, but you can find many cases of people who are faster in the electronic world and vice versa. So I think the conundrum is really about, you know, how do we take, you know, a group of heterogeneous physicians and help them practice in the world of electronic health records, you know, most efficiently. So they're not spending time, you know, searching for information that they could otherwise get to, you know, with one click.
Yes, and speaking of that, and I said we weren't going to spend much time on numbers, but here they are. The authors of that paper say that roughly 5 of those minutes were spent reviewing in chart review. Roughly 4 were spent documenting the visit, and roughly 3 were spent on ordering for after the visit. And you point out that the reviewing the chart is probably, and these aren't your words, but I'm inferring that you find that a waste of time, not reviewing the chart, but finding a way through the chart to gather the information that's relevant to that visit. Can you talk about that a bit?
Exactly. I mean, you know, the first thing to point out, right, is it's sort of a compound problem. The more information we put in the chart, the more time it takes to search the chart. And so in some ways we've made this an increasingly hard problem over time. But it's also, as I point out, an area in which I think we've spent the least time figuring out how to do it well. And if you think about, you know, the amount of person hours that has gone into, you know, optimizing Google searches, right? You think about what search used to be like in the early days and what search is like now. I mean, the, you know, speed with which you get accurate information is breathtaking. And we have just not invested that same amount of time and effort helping clinicians search through the chart. And there's so much information there. So how do we get them the specific, you know, subset of information they're looking for? I think that it feels really like low hanging fruit to me to optimize search and to learn. I mean, Google was so effective at search because they studied everyone's search behaviors online to figure out how to optimize. And again, we have that opportunity in healthcare. Let's study physician chart searching, and then figure out how to optimize. And we're just not doing that. And again, I think that's inexcusable. I really think we owe it, to our physicians and to our healthcare system to figure out how to create an electronic health record that's easy to use.
Now, are you aware of any research that's gone into that, into looking at how physicians do searches and their EHRs?
Yeah, there's a handful of studies, and I'm perhaps a little biased. I was part of one that's under review now from Kaiser that, you know, looked at it across, you know, thousands and thousands of physicians. So the data are there, and I think, you know, we're just starting to scratch the surface on the research side. Again, the hard part is then trying to get the vendors of the technology to implement the changes that are discovered. And so I think that's where I'd say a lot of frustration is today is that the pain points are well known. And it doesn't seem like the software vendors are highly motivated to try to continuously improve the software.
If this study accomplishes nothing else, it at least sets a kind of standard of usage for those EHRs. Your editorial implies that this study is perhaps definitive.
Yeah, I think, there have been several studies that have tried to quantify, you know, how much time do doctors in our current regulatory environment with our current set of electronic health records, how much time do they spend? You know, I'd say like we now know the answer. Several studies have said, you know, it's about double the time that they're spending and on, you know, face-to-face care. So it doesn't mean that it's not going to be important to continue to measure that. But let's not do that until we've actually tried to put in, some things to change that. So if we're going to redesign electronic health records, we'll need to assess if that made a dent in this number. If we're going to change our regulatory environment, so a good example of that is the changes to the evaluation and management coding requirements coming out of CMS. So now, you know, there's a sort of a subset of documentation that no longer needs to be in the chart. So, studies like these should be repeated to see whether those are having the intended effect and bringing down that number from 16 minutes to something, you know, hopefully much lower. One of the, you know, issues that feels like it can get muddled in this space is the difference between, is this an EHR problem or is this a regulation problem, right? No. Is this just about the documentation requirements and it has nothing to do with the EHRs, or is this about just bad EHRs and it has nothing to do with the regulations? It's both.
Yeah.
You know, that we need to fix the regulation piece and the requirements for documentation are overly burdensome. So we need to improve those. But even if we improved those, the software itself could still be better. And yeah. So we need to equally invest in making sure the software is as usable as possible. And so I think, you know, trying to move out of this fallacy of it's just the regulation or it's just the EHRs and say, nope, it's both. And, you know, we'll only, you know, make meaningful improvement, I think, if we really tackle both.
And it sounds like what physicians are doing now is populating the database with sweat equity. But as you point out in the editorial, they're unlikely to benefit in the near future from any of that sweat equity that they're investing right now because, as you have pointed out in this chat, the research into how to improve those EHRs isn't being done, yet by the big vendors.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there's a couple issues at play here. One is we're not taking advantage of the fact that we have a lot of data to use to study how to make the systems better. And I don't think we're doing that nearly enough. But I think the broader point, and one that will perhaps always be true, is that, that our physicians are the ones that are in direct contact with patients and gleaning their health information. And once that information is documented, it's used for a wide variety of purposes, right? It's used for future physicians who treat those patients. It's used for research. It's used for public health surveillance. And so in that case, it really is sort of, you know, there's a misalignment between the effort that physicians have to put in and these broad benefits that accrue from the data that they enter. And I don't think we're ever going to fix that. Perhaps it's not even something to really be fixed, but it's more about recognizing that there's this misalignment and then thinking about how can we structure physicians' jobs in a way that at least recognizes that, where they feel like they're contributing to something that's bigger, that benefits patients, that benefits, you know, public health and society, rather than right now, the experience of it is one that's really one of just sort of frustration and sort of perceived waste of effort. So I think, again, we have some perhaps creative ways to think about writing that, even in a world in which physicians will always have to spend more time than they might directly get back in an individual benefit.
There was an article in The New Yorker, I think, over the summer by Atul Gawande about electronic health records. And you're shaking your head as if you had read it.
Yeah.
You're familiar with it. One of the people who was most vocally critical of EHRs was somebody that I work with occasionally. And her frustration was, you know, palpable in that article. And with the clinicians that you talk to, do you get those same kinds of reactions if they see you coming at them and saying, "Uh-oh, here comes an EHR researcher"?
Yes, absolutely. I joke sometimes that I feel like my job is half researcher, half therapist, because as soon as I, you know, talk about what I study, you know, the pain points are so acute. And are brought up, you know, right away. And it's, you know, again, it's in some ways, I think, you know, we're burning out our physicians, right? We're exhausting them by making half of their job entering data into a computer. And I don't think very many of them, you know, train to become a clinician in order to spend, you know, half their time entering data in front of a computer. So I think, you know, again, that's really the challenge ahead of us, is that, you know, some of that documentation is valuable and needed. And so, you know, the question is, who's going to do that? Are we going to ask the physicians to do that and just make it easier for them? Are we going to move to models where there's scribes, which I think is very costly? The hope, right, is that eventually we'll get to a point where voice recognition software is so good that you could just record and extract from the conversation, at least a lot of the information. So there's no need to enter for any human to enter data. But we're not quite there yet. So I do think there's several reasons to think this will get better in the future. And ultimately, again, this is about allowing physicians to spend their time, in the way that we've, trained them, to be empathic caregivers and be able to focus on the patient and their needs, and not to worry about checking boxes.
Yes. And I wonder, other than, the message of feeling their pain, does this study have practical implications for clinicians? do you think?
Sure. I mean, the study does not sort of directly say, how do we solve this problem? And again, I think those of us who study this recognize that the problem is multidimensional. So there's not sort of one way out. But I think some of the interesting insights are around, you know, as we talked about before, what aspects of activities in the record are taking the most time. So if we're going to work on solving, you know, a problem, which one should we focus on? I think this one says, well, chart review is taking up the most time. So if we're going to start somewhere, we should start there. So again, I think for clinicians to start being more vocal about how could chart review be optimized? What functionalities would they like to see their EHR, doing that they don't have today? So I think that's one, you know, actionable piece. And then the other I might point to is just, again, that there's such tremendous variability, right? If you take any, they looked at it by different sort of subspecialties. Again, you know, a lot of variation across, but also within. So, you know, you could see if you took cardiology, you know, you could see there were some people who were spending very little time and some people that were spending a lot of time. And again, that to my mind is really what the nut we need to crack, is figuring out what explains that. Why are some clinicians able to be much more efficient and others not? Because if we could move everyone to the model of the most efficient, you know, group, right, that in and of itself, you know, would save a tremendous amount of time. And so, I think it doesn't tell us how to do that, but it tells us that we know that variation exists. And so we need to, you know, I think the next step is to discover what it is about that group and what they're doing, and then to see if those lessons can scale.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us about your editorial today, Dr. Adler-Milstein.
Thank you so much.
That was our 249th episode. All of them are available free at podcasts.jwatch.org. We come to you from NEJM Journal Watch and the NEJM Group. The executive producer is Kristen Kelly, and I'm Joe Elia. Thank you for listening.